So hope you had a chance to some of you say hello to these awesome guys from Teen Challenge that are here this morning. I'm so excited to have them again. It's kind of twofold. I have to admit there's a little selfishness involved. One is I love having these guys, and we've had them here every year. But I was great about having them this week is that it's after my vacation, and I didn't have to do a sermon on vacation. So I just like, I'm going to let these guys write the sermon this morning. Why don't you guys, church, give them a warm welcome as they come up and share today. This is Pastor Troy. He's director at Teen Challenge and Shed. He's going to lead. What's going on this morning?
All right. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. So as the Spirit always does, changes how I'm going to do things this morning. And so I just want to first start off by thanking everyone here, including the worship leader and that worship. That was amazing. You know, a lot of times when we come and do these, I'm listening to the worship and I'm allowing the Spirit to work in my life. And it always happens. It just radically changes what my approach is going to be when I come up here. And so one of the challenges coming to a church we've been to many times is what to say that's going to be different, that's going to be impactful, right? Well, good thing the Spirit's always working in our lives, because I just want to highlight a few things on the worship. So the first song says, we come to give praise and glory. And I think about, like, that's exactly what we want to do today, is we want to come and give praise and glory of what the Lord has done in these men's lives and my life, and what Teen Challenge does. And so that's one of the things that we're going to try to accomplish today, is glorifying Him, but also sharing with you what the Lord has done in these men's lives. The second song that we listen to, this is the second church I've heard that song in, and it's always a fun one. All these guys are familiar with it. We go to another church occasionally that they play that song, and you can't help but want to just get down and start, you know, dancing and getting excited. So, and I was blessed with having someone, a couple ladies behind me that were really getting into it, so it just allowed me to get into it, so thank you. The third song, I started making notes, and I actually had to look up the song, so Build My Life was the song, I believe, right? The third song we sang. I challenge everyone here, when you go home today, look up the lyrics on that. It's an instruction manual. It's a way to build that foundation that the Lord will walk you through, and it's exactly what our hope is for these men. And so I'm not going to read word for word, but it's just, there's a few highlights here that Jesus is the only one who could ever save us. And that is so true. Many of these men have tried many programs and opportunities, and it just didn't go anywhere because the Lord wasn't the center and the focus. And so when you read these lyrics, you will literally see it's an instruction manual and an opportunity to build your life 100% around the Lord. And so that was pretty powerful. So thank you for leading that. And of course, it's worship for the Lord, but it was just an awesome opportunity just to start this morning. And so with that, I'd like to pray, and then we'll get into what we're doing this morning, okay? Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity just to come and to share really your story, the story that you have laid out for us in our journey, and that foundation that you've given us that we can build up through our relationship with you. And so today, Lord, allow us the opportunity to share your truth through us and through our testimonies, and opportunities to give an understanding for those that are watching and sitting here in this room, a clear understanding of what your ministry is about and what it does for these men and women in these programs, and how they can be a part of such an awesome and amazing ministry that helps change lives. And so, Lord, today we give you all the glory and all the praise in everything that we do and how we share. Allow us to do it in excellence. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name, amen. Well, my name is Troy Cunningham. I'm the executive director for Adult and Teen Challenge, the Shed Men's Campus. And Pastor doesn't know this, but about 4 months ago, we just expanded our family. And now we oversee the Women's Center with children in Eugene. And so pretty big expansion of the family. It's been a center that's been there for many years, I believe. Have the ladies been here before? Yeah. So pretty exciting news. Lots of transition going on, but we welcomed it. And so with that being said, my wife that had been alongside me volunteering and behind the scenes for many years, was able to come on full time and help co-lead the efforts. And so we're super excited about that. It's exciting. It's super exciting to be able to be challenged in a way that would have never 10 years ago ever felt that we had ever been able to be a part of. So super exciting. Well, as I said, my name is Troy Cunningham, and today our hope and our goal is for you guys to have an understanding of who Teen Challenge is, just to really give you guys a perspective of what kind of resources and who we are and what Teen Challenge is all about. And so many of you are familiar faces. Some are new. And those of you that are online, we're excited that you guys are watching us today, too. And so our hope today, though, is that you guys walk away with a huge takeaway of knowing that we will partner with anybody at any point to try to help those that are lost and within their addiction, trying to put hope within reach. And so we're going to start off this morning with a new video that nobody here has seen yet, and just to really give an understanding of who we are, and then we'll start our program. Okay.
Gangs. He quickly recognized that drug and alcohol addiction was consuming the lives of the youth. Adult and Teen Challenge was founded to address the growing addiction epidemic. And today the need is greater than ever, and everything we do always comes back to our primary mission, to make disciples. We want to put hope within reach of every addict. In 1983, Mike Hodges opened the first campus in Oregon. And now the Adult and Teen Challenge Pacific Northwest Family of Ministries has expanded to 5 states throughout the region. For the last 4 decades, we have been growing and refining our approach to the discipleship process. We recognize that people need more than just sobriety. They need every area of their life to be transformed by the gospel. So we offer a comprehensive approach to recovery. At the core of our ministry is our residential recovery program. When students walk through our doors, they meet Jesus. And when they meet Jesus, the transformation process begins. Within the structure of a campus and in the community of peers and our staff, they develop spiritual disciplines. They learn how to pray, how to study scripture, how to worship, and how to be lifelong disciples of Christ. And as their faith grows, they find freedom.
It's a sanctuary. It's a place to check out from this craziness of this world and not have all the pressures of responsibilities, but just one thing in mind, establishing a relationship with the Lord.
Addiction creates complex behavioral health challenges, so we have integrated Life Renewal to provide state-approved counseling by our own professionally trained addiction counselors. Our students participate in individual and group therapy, and our counselors equip them with the tools they need to heal from their past and apply biblical principles to their lifelong recovery.
We are offering students evidence-based treatment with a Christian worldview. This will allow them to live their lives in a more successful and positive way while also helping them to stand strong in their identity.
We were designed to work, created to be productive. So our vocational training program helps our students establish the skills needed to be productive members of our society. Our thrift stores, work crews, and other vocational experiences teach important life skills, teamwork, leadership, stewardship, and integrity. We help students discover the joy of an honest day's work. And rather than sitting on the sidelines during their recovery, they build confidence as they put their new skills into practice.
I see students really adapt very well in the stores. They're enjoying the environment they're in. They're productive. There's a reward in work that you've never seen before with students. The work that our students do sets them up to thrive once they leave our program.
Discipleship is not just about learning the gospel, but also living it out. David Wilkerson founded this ministry on outreach. So Hope Outreach gives our students the opportunity to discover the joy of serving, to give back to their community, and to deliver hope beyond our campus walls. We work with local partners to bring compassion to our communities. Our students share their stories to bring prevention and awareness to local schools. We establish community discipleship groups for those in recovery, and we share the hope we have found in Christ through evangelism. At Adult and Teen Challenge, our comprehensive approach to recovery is allowing us to broaden our reach and improve outcomes for our students. Our comprehensive approach helps us put hope within reach of every addict and make lifelong disciples.
Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus.
That's a really cool thing to see
someone being given that opportunity to experience hope for the first time, and everything about them begins to change.
I just have an undeniable passion for God. He has brought me through so much, and it honestly could only come from Him.
Probably the best decision I've ever made coming to the program. The program really molded me into a man of God. Like, when I came in the program, I was a kid. I was 18 years old. And it was in the program that I learned how to become a man as a student. Teen Challenge has helped save my life.
Pretty powerful stuff, huh? You know, every time I watch that, I get excited because I've watched over the 10 years that I've been a part of this ministry, and just knowing how long Teen Challenge has been here and just how it continues to evolve. And during that fellowship, I was talking with a gentleman, and he's like, Teen Challenge is getting old. And I said, yeah, that's right, but we're continuing to change and we're continuing to mold, but we still hold on to the foundation of who we are, and that's centered around Christ. And many of you know that here in Lebanon, it's always exciting to come and share because this is where it started. It started here in Lebanon, you know, Mike Hodges answering the call to go and help those that are lost. And many of you have watched that happen over the years of the partnership that we have. And so it's super exciting to be able to come and share and just to be a part of this great ministry that's helped change lives and helped change my own life as well. And so through the vocation, as you guys heard, the thrift store here is always a great way to support, and we're very thankful for that. One of the newer components over the last 5 years, which was the life renewal that you guys spoke on, that allows for so many opportunities, but a couple to highlight would be it allows for licensed drug and alcohol counselors to come and really be able to minister to the men through group therapy and one-on-one sessions. But it also, with having that stamp, it allows for the court systems to see that at times some court systems that don't know who we are will actually allow. And so that's a huge piece to it. And then, of course, the street evangelism and the outreach efforts and partnerships to be able to come out. And we get to be blessed to do many things, even in this community. And so it's always interesting because I've been to many churches all over Oregon. But when you come to Lebanon, it's just a different feel. And I know I'm online. Hopefully a bunch of other pastors aren't watching, which hopefully for you they are, but that they're not getting jealous that we're highlighting Lebanon. But Lebanon definitely supports Teen Challenge for sure. So, well, a couple things before we get started, I just want to share. So a couple gentlemen were passing this out. This is what we call a connection card. And so one of the things that is exciting about when you fill this out is that we send out monthly newsletters. We send out quarterly updates about what's going on in the life of Teen Challenge. If you're interested in volunteering, if you're interested in coming alongside in some way, this is a way for us to stay connected with you. And so some can give money, time. Some people just want to know what's going on, what to be praying for, but this is a way. So we won't spam you, but we'll definitely send you guys information about what's going on in the life of Teen Challenge. And so go ahead and fill that out today before you leave, and a couple of guys will collect these for you, okay? Well, the first thing that we're going to start with, it's a little skit that these guys do, and it's just an opportunity just to bring some truth. And so you guys will get to see that, and then we'll continue to move forward. All right? So come on up here, gentlemen.
What is reality? It's being 6 months old and already in the hospital twice for starvation. It's being locked in a closet and left for days at a time. It's being put in foster care, tied to your crib, and left for days at a time. It's at age 32, your father commits suicide, and you blame yourself. It's feeling so empty inside and so full of hopelessness and guilt that you try to commit suicide. How do I know that's reality? Because that was my reality.
What is reality? Reality is being abandoned by several families because they feel that you are broken and can't change, so they give up on you and they throw you out. Reality is doing your best to stay positive, to stay happy, and to be a good brother and son. Yet when you fail, they give up on you, they call you a sinner, and the man that you call father, he says he doesn't even want to hear about your name anymore. Reality is shutting down all your emotions or numbing them through addiction because you feel those emotions aren't important to you anymore. Also, because those emotions are so painful, you just want those feelings to stop. How do I know that's reality? Because that was my reality.
Reality is turning to methamphetamines and alcohol at the age of 14 to escape family problems at home. Reality is becoming a convicted felon also at the age of 14 and spending years of my life incarcerated behind bars. Reality is being stabbed almost to death, shot at, beaten, and involved in more violence and criminal activity than I can remember. Reality is feeling so depressed and down on myself that I've lived life recklessly, contemplated suicide, and cursed God for my existence. How do I know that's reality? Because that was my reality.
Truth is, everything that happened to me happened to teach me the healing power of forgiveness. Truth is, everything that happened to me happened so I'd have a powerful testimony for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Truth is, I'm not responsible for my father's suicide. Truth is, God has taken my emptiness, filled it with living water, and now I'm free of the hopelessness and guilt. Truth is, now I live through Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that is the truth.
The truth is, I am a child of God, and he is a father that looks after his children and does not abandon them. He's been with me and carrying me when things got tough for my entire life. The truth is that I am forgiven by him. No matter how bad my sins get, he loves me and he will never stop loving me. And the truth is, it's okay for me to feel my feelings no matter how painful they may be, because they make me stronger, not just in spirit, but in my relationship with God. In the book of truth in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, I have defeated Satan by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of my testimony, and I do not love my life so much as to shrink from death, and that is the truth.
But the truth is, God is using everything from my past as a testimony of what he can do with a broken life. The truth is, because of God, all my failures and pain will be used as a witness to help others. The truth is, I have found freedom in Christ. I no longer have to live with the guilt, shame, and sorrow that the chains of my addiction has kept me enslaved. The truth is, I am able to forgive myself regardless of my past, and I am able to love myself because I am forgiven. In the book of truth in Galatians 1:15 says, but God had special plans for me and set me apart for his work. Even before I was born, he called me through his grace. And that's the truth.
It's interesting how the reality in our lives make us think that that's the only way that life can be. And the enemy knows this. And the enemy will continue to lie to us and continue to stick his snares in our back and just pull us away from what the light is and what the truth is. And that is a totally different way of life. And as you hear these testimonies today, you'll realize that once we recognize that we're powerless and that we need the Lord in our lives and allow him to fully take over every aspect of what's going on in our lives and to truly surrender, that we can have that freedom and the real truth, which is the narrow path of opportunity for change in our lives. And so this next individual I've watched for several months in this program, and I've been part of this ministry 10 years, and I've watched a lot of guys, and they come in at different phases in their time where sometimes they're avoiding things. Sometimes they think that they want change, and then they quickly get comfortable. And then others are so broken that they're desperate right when they first come in, and everything in between all of those. And this individual, when I watched him come into our program, based off of the life that he chose to live prior coming in here, this was an opportunity for true change. This was a chance of a lifetime for him to really radically change and really see the opportunity the Lord was giving him. And it's exciting to watch the things that have taken place in his own life and just the strength that he's been given, knowing that life out there is continuing on and that things are difficult, but yet still holding on to the opportunities to just trust and have faith that when the time is right, that he is going to prepare him to go out and be and do great things. And so without further ado, I'm going to invite Matt to come on up here.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm from Salem, Oregon. I was born there, but I wasn't raised there. I'm an only child. And my dad and mom were criminals when I was growing up. My parents moved me all around the United States. Every year we moved from state to state. That happened till I was 15. When I was traveling back to Oklahoma City, my dad passed away. Still not a man myself, I had to become one. I moved my family to Oregon and started working so I could pay for my father's cremation. By the age of 16, I was introduced to methamphetamines. That's when my addiction started. The mind-altering drugs made me make bad choices, and I went to prison for 36 months. When I was released, I found my now wife and got married and had twins. So I went to college and became a certified welder and a mechanic. I stayed clean for 11 years. Life was great until one day my life was turned upside down by a bad choice due to Oregon law. My wife had to go to prison for 2 years. That's when I relapsed. My best friend was gone. I spun out of control and couldn't stop. My wife got out and I kept still using and I couldn't stop. One day my wife wanted to take a week-long class to become a peer support specialist, and that's where the Lord was working behind my back. I didn't know my wife met Troy C. and Ralph from Adult and Teen Challenge, and she told them about me and my situation and my meth use. I kept using, and it caused me and my wife to separate, and I didn't stop there. The using cost me a very long stay in jail. I lost my job where I worked as a manager at a company, and I was planning to purchase. Everything was lost. I worked so hard for it was gone. Sitting in jail, I asked the Lord, please give me one more chance. At first, according to the DA who wanted me to serve prison time, was no. But I begged the Lord to touch the judge's heart. And by the grace of Christ, I went back to court and the judge actually did change his heart. He gave me one chance at Adult and Teen Challenge. I never felt so humble when I entered Adult and Teen Challenge. Every day is a new day, and I'm truly blessed for this opportunity to grow closer to the Lord and become a man of God. He has worked miracles in my life since enrolling in Adult and Teen Challenge. God is good. Thank you.
It's stories like that that gives me goosebumps, because sometimes you don't really realize the impact. It's like driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, and how do you respond to that? Because by the time you get to wherever you're going, you might be following that same person and you got to interact with them. And so we always got to be above reproach, and we've always got to be ready and prepared. And so I share that story because I never knew that Matt was going to enroll in our program. I just shared the ministry that's changed my life and that we're a part of, and full circle, here he is. And life is changing in his world. And so it's just exciting to see that. And so this next part here, we're going to share about our student sponsorship program. And it's just a tangible way to be involved in the ministry. It's exciting because these men, they trust us when they walk in the door of Teen Challenge. They trust that we have their best interest, that we're going to bring a structured environment that will help change their life. But to believe and to really know that we like really love and care for them, being an authoritative figure, can be a challenge at times. And so the student sponsorship, the benefit and the blessing of that is two things. One, it challenges you, but it also allows for these men in the program to really feel loved and cared for, because the sponsorship is an opportunity to partner with these individuals. And you're going to get to see a video here in a second, but then it's also a challenge for you as well. And it challenges you and your faith and your diligence and your willingness to come alongside and support individuals in their program. And so we're going to watch a video, and then Saul's going to come up and share kind of his own impact that this program has had. So we're going to go.
Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge is a faith-based drug and alcohol recovery program with the power to change lives.
When I was a teenager, I was rebellious and started using drugs experimentally, which ultimately led to a 13-year addiction to opiates. After countless tries to quit on my own and get my life back, I decided to enroll myself into Adult and Teen Challenge in Portland. I've learned that God forgives us no matter what. He has amazing grace, and ultimately He forgives you for everything. I now have high hopes for my future. I have my life back and a great career opportunity ahead of me.
Graduating from Adult and Teen Challenge is not an easy accomplishment. This is a life-changing discipleship program. Our students are faced with spiritual battles on a daily basis, and every encouragement makes a difference. We want to invite you to be a part of their success. We want to invite you to become a student sponsor. When you sponsor a student at Adult and Teen Challenge, you're partnering with an individual who's becoming a new creation. When you sign up, we will assign you to one of our students and send you a photo and profile of the student that you will be sponsoring. Every few months, you will receive an update about your student's progress, so you can continue to pray for them and see that beyond your financial support, you are helping to change their life. You'll have opportunities to meet and encourage your student at Adult and Teen Challenge events. And when your student completes the program, you will receive a personal invitation to attend and celebrate at their completion ceremony. Most of all, we urge you to write and encourage your student. Your letters will remind them that someone cares and that their community supports them. Your prayers will help move the mountains in their path and help them stay focused on their journey towards freedom. Many students say that the letters and notes they received gave them hope and encouragement at just the right time.
The first time I received a card from my sponsor was on a day that I was ready to give up and quit the program. Reading that card gave me the encouragement I needed to stay in the program and keep going. Knowing that people were out there praying for me besides just my family gave me the encouragement to press on.
The cost to provide housing, counseling, and other recovery services to a student in our program is over $2,500 each month. Most students could never afford to pay that out of pocket. So our ministry is supported by gifts from friends and family, our vocational training programs, and the generous support of donors like you. For $35 per month, you can sponsor a student, and your entire gift will help provide recovery services to your student. By committing just $35 a month, you can help to change the life and future of a Teen Challenge student. To become a student sponsor, simply fill out a sign-up form or give us a call to start supporting a student at your local Adult and Teen Challenge campus today.
Good morning, church. Thank you for having us. I'm here to tell you about sponsorship, as you already heard. A lot of us, I'm going to say myself, when I came in, I have family, but they were tired of my lies. They were tired of my wrongdoings for so many years that when I asked for help to come to a program, I was incarcerated when that happened. They didn't believe me. I wanted to change. They asked me, so you want me to go to the church and ask money for you so you can go to a program? And then I said, oh, I guess not, you know, because then I heard how it sounded. But reality is sometimes in my case, I pushed my family away. They didn't believe me. They didn't trust me. They would never thought I would change. Society didn't thought I would change. But there's a God that He says, I'm His son. And He programs, we're not robots. We're not robots because we got a choice. But He pours that love in each of us hearts for someone else on the tomorrow. I went through this church a couple years ago as a student, just as my brothers. And God touched some of you to help me. And I'm still here. I want to thank you ahead of time for that. I became an intern, and now I'm blessed to be a staff member. And thank you, Lord, for putting the love in you guys' heart to help me to go through it. And I'm still here. So I'm like the fruit that you guys get to see, that it pays out, you know. And the happiness that glows through our eyes when we say that when society or my own family says that I couldn't change, He says, you are my son, and I got great plans for you, just like my brother said. And that's what we're here to share. So sponsorship, by the way, I think that's updated, is $45 a month. Sorry about that. But I heard it many, many other ways that you can stop drinking a cup of coffee a week In my part, it'd be eating a hamburger a week, you know? So we can feel that part, each one of us. There's so many ways to help. You can be involved to help one of my brothers, to help us to make a difference in society. And go over there and talk to me, talk to one of our brothers, and we'll give you direction how to help. When you become a sponsor, you will get a picture of the ones that you're sponsoring, his testimony of how you can pray for him, how you can talk to God about him and his child or his troubles that they're going through. And I heard it from some of my sponsors that they put it in the refrigerator. So when they get to open something and maybe they're thinking about going and buying something, they say, oh, hold on here. Let's pray for Saul's daughter. Let's pray for Saul's son. Let's pray for Saul to keep doing the right thing that God wants him to do. So there's many ways. And for people that they're not in a place where they can help financially, there's always a need of prayer. So God can keep doing and can keep helping us to achieve the tomorrow, to go through the stuff that when we get irritated with one another, maybe we can find a piece of God in our hearts to say, it's all right, brother, that was my mistake. Because the enemy is really trying to get us to quit, to go away. By this little excuse about hot sauce, about whatever it is. I put the hot sauce because we went through a little problem yesterday about it. And the house was getting irritated about hot sauce. That's the enemy getting at us, brothers. And we need to find that peace of God in our heart so we can keep striving. And instead of pushing each other away, lifting each other up. But we're here to share what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in your guys' life. Because you are here and you are hearing us. And you will talk to one of these guys and you guys will pray for them. I know it. Because that's what you're doing in the house of God. And we are abiding God in ourselves, just like you said in your song. So for you that are watching in line, you can help by going to Willamette Valley Adulting Challenge. And the phone number is 458-233-6100. You can sponsor somebody, or if you need help and you're in addiction and you don't know how to reach help, you tried it yourself over and over and over, but it doesn't work. Use that number. Again, it's 458-233-6100. Thank you. Thank you so much. And may God bless you guys. Oh, I almost robbed myself. Sorry. I got a scripture. So it's out of Matthew. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. And he says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal it. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy it. There your heart will be also. And where the thieves do not break in and steal it, for where your treasure is, there is your heart as well. So if you pray for us, you are getting treasures in heaven. If you seek the Lord for us to have this new change in life, you'll be having many treasures in heaven just by doing the right thing. Now, if you can help, that's more great for us. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Saul. Well, this next individual that's going to share, every guy that comes in here is in a different place in life. And when we see somebody come in broken and struggles with trust, it can be really difficult to adjust in the program. And to add, age, whether it's somebody that's significantly older or significantly younger, that can really be a factor in this program as well. And so to watch this next individual being young, coming in, struggling with trust and just feeling, accepted, those are a lot of really heavy challenges coming into this place. And getting to watch this individual just flourish in this environment and recognize that we're a family, that we care for him, has really just opened him and allowed him to grow in this program. And so we're super excited to hear Alex. So Alex, come on up here.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Alex, and this is the testimony of how I became a Christian. I was born into a broken family in the state of California, but we moved to Nevada. I had a dad who was arrested and deported back to his country for being a child molester. I had a mom who not only was not ready to have kids, she was definitely not ready to be a single mother of two kids. My childhood consisted of a nomadic lifestyle. We moved from homeless shelter, church to church, and boyfriend's house to boyfriend's house. And then one day, while my mom was out working, she left us home with a babysitter. She passed out on the couch, and my sister got worried, so she called 911. The medics came along with some local officers, and they were stunned to see two toddlers in a drug house with a babysitter who OD'd on the couch. She survived, but unfortunately, the child she was carrying did not. This all happened while my mom was out selling those drugs. We were taken into the foster care system, and that's where things got rough. My sister and I were placed in a foster home, and let me tell you, that wasn't fun. As far as they were concerned, we were just a meal ticket or a free trip to Disneyland, and seeing as how we were in the state of Nevada, foster care children can't leave. So there were times where my sister and I had to be separated for weeks or even months at a time, and that messed me up. Being separated from my sister was like being separated from a strong foundation and being thrown into the ocean, where you didn't even know how to swim. So the only thing I could do was to defend myself and be a violent kid and act out. The only positive thing I could say about being in foster care was through that, that's how I found out about God. But all I knew about God back then was that he was real and that he really didn't like me. When I turned 9, my grandmother came and she adopted me and my sister and took us to California. While living there, my mom tried to get back into our lives. Things were going well at first until one day she got lazy and she got fired from her job. So one day she packed her things in the middle of the night and left us without even saying goodbye. I was so angry I didn't know how to act, and I didn't know how to think. I got into so many fights at school, and my grandmother didn't know how to deal with me except through violence herself. And then one day, my aunt came from Oregon to visit us for a family reunion. She invited us to come stay with her for the summer, and my sister and I were more than happy to come. We had such a great time that she decided to adopt us and have us move to Oregon and live with her for good. And while doing that, I did not know she was a Christian. And then going through my first year of middle school with no fights and no misbehaviors under my belt, which I was really proud of, she decided to send me to a summer camp. And that is where I found Jesus. While at the camp, I learned that God's love for all of us was so great that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come and die for us because he considered us all to be his children. So when I heard that we were all one big happy family, I decided to say, where's the hot tub? Unfortunately, we're at a camp, so we're in the middle of nowhere, and there's no hot tub. But we did have a really ice-cold river that I could get dunked in, and so that's where it happened. And let me tell you, that was the best bath I had ever taken. Not saying that I don't take baths, I do. And ever since I came out of that water, God has been changing me in many ways. He's helped me see where he's been helping me out in my life, even when I didn't see him. Because when you're in foster care, you feel like you're alone. He's helped me notice that the people in my life have been more family to me than I could ever imagine. and he's opened my heart to a whole bunch of different opportunities in my life. The camp that I mentioned to you guys, I now work at as a camp counselor, and I help bring other kids to Christ. Thank you. He's also opened my heart so many times that I cry a lot more than I should. So just ask one of these guys when we're in the TV room watching a really sad movie. God has loved me so much and has forgiven me of a lot. And I'm going to do my best to live my life, making sure that I love as many people and forgive as many people as I can, because he showed me that. Thank you.
See, now you guys understand why I was excited to introduce him, because lots of things have happened in his life. Well, this next individual, and it'll be our last testimony today, I've got to watch for a long journey here, and, you know, we all have our own struggles in life, whether it's an actual substance that we that are addicted to, or it's just something that has taken a stronghold in our life. And this individual I've watched over a course of months battle through so many things and continue to keep pushing through. This program is not easy. It's long. To change your life in this world, in this environment, and the strongholds that we come into these programs with are very difficult. And if I could say out of anybody in our program right now, dealing with spiritual warfare and going through the daily trials and everything, this would be one that gets attacked every single day, yet continues to persevere and continues to push on. And so we're excited to see that. It's one of those things that just continues to encourage us as we watch, because he's trusting the Lord to allow him day by day to press through. And so without further ado, Ernie, come on up.
I'm gonna steal this. Hello, my name's Ernie, and I was born in White Salmon, Washington, in the Columbia River Gorge. My parents gave their lives to the Lord when my mother became pregnant with me, so I was raised in a Christian home. My childhood growing up until about 12 years old was wonderful. I had two younger siblings, a sister and a brother, and me and my sister were only a year and a half apart, and my little brother a few years after that. We were all very close. Homeschooled, we lived in the mountains, way out of town, because my father was a timber father. Every night when he would come home, we would all sit down praying, holding hands, and have dinner together. We were very loving and very close, but the enemy found his way in to attack us. My parents started fighting more and more, and my sister became anorexic, which caused more fighting and chaos. I, for some reason, was always attracted to the bad things, the music, etc., and had already been chewing and smoking cigarettes at this time. When I was 14 years old, I was introduced to my first line of methamphetamine. I fell in love instantly, and I wanted to feel that way regardless of what I didn't know at the time would almost cost me everything, and I was off to the races, so to speak. I was convicted of my first felonies at the age of 14 for burglary and vandalism, and that was only the beginning of my criminal career. I was declined to be tried as an adult in the state of Washington when I was 16 years old, and I can still remember the judge saying, "You can go play with the big boys." I was in and out of jails and running with outlaws and gangsters. In 2004, I received 25 months for a delivery manufacturing charge and went to prison. When I got released, small compromises led me right back into my addiction again. In only a few short months, I was on my way back for felony assault on police officers. My probation officer, a Christian man, and my father at the time, convinced the judge to allow me to go to Teen Challenge instead of a lengthy prison sentence. Looking back, it saved my life. I graduated the program, but I didn't apply anything that I had learned, and I didn't get involved in the church or stay in the Word, and went another 10 years of my addiction. So many times I've heard it was a miracle that I had lived or that I was alive. I've been stabbed with a medium-sized Bowie knife, puncturing my lung. I've been shot at. I've been beaten within an inch of my life, and in numerous horrific car crashes. One of them was a 69 Chevy pickup, my dad's. He wasn't too happy about it, but he was glad I was alive. It was a 69 Chevy pickup that rolled and caught on fire while I was inside. And the truck was on its side, and while the fuel from the gas tank behind the seat was just dumping on the fire, I opened the passenger door and I started to climb out. The heavy door came down and hit me in my head and knocked me back down into the flames. The pain was so horrific, it was like I opened the door again, and it felt like somebody just grabbed me by the back of my shirt and pulled me out. It was God. I was taken to the Memorial Burn Center in Portland, Oregon, and my face and hands had second and third degree burns and full thickness burns on the back of my ears and a lot of my face. It looked like Freddy Krueger. They said I was going to have skin graft surgeries, and they sent me home for like 3 days with fresh bandages, and said when I returned that they were going to begin the surgery. When I came back 3 days later and they were changing my bandages, they looked astonished and were so amazed. Then the doctor, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he actually said that it was a miracle. And so they kept sending me home and come back and everything, and I don't have any scars from it. My loved ones and I have always known that God has a plan for my life. All the time after I graduated Teen Challenge, I felt God was calling me back to the ministry, and I knew that's where he wanted me. Finally broken, I made the decision to come back home, this time voluntarily, because I know the miracles that this place has to offer. And that's exactly what I needed, was one last miracle to turn my life around with the help of God. Now, I tried it alone, and I've tried it through numerous treatment facilities, and I've come to the realization that it just won't work without him. With God, all things are possible. Today, there are still struggles I face, but I don't face them alone. I face them with Christ, who strengthens me. 1 week before I came back, I attempted to take my own life. That was the most hopeless that I had ever been. And now, just months later, I can't believe that I actually would even be at that point. So it's the nearest thing from my mind. I have more hope than ever, because I know life's tough, man. I just gotta suck it up, and I know that God's there for me. So it's just a blessing, you know. I truly feel that I owe God for saving my life so many times, and that's what I'm gonna do. So I'm gonna dedicate the next half of my life to, or however long He gives me to working for Him instead of the other. So thank you for having me. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ernie. Yep. Well, we're running over a little bit, but I'm gonna finish up here. Some powerful testimonies. Yeah. Well, my hope today is that you guys have an understanding of who we are. We're in the business to help restore lives, to put hope within reach, and to give a safe place to be able to find God. That's what we're about. And through that transformation, the tools that are being equipped, the foundation that's built, and the opportunities to put it into practice sets them up for success. That's what we're about. That's why we are here. And one of the blessings of being able to partner with churches is that to come alongside and be able to share it. They help at times to financially support us and give us an opportunity just to share who we are. And so I thank you for that. A couple things that I would like to finish with. One is some statistics that I share every time I come to these, and it never becomes easy to share these. These are the reality of what we're living in. 3.6 million people die from drugs and alcohol each year. That's a lot of people. That's 10,000 per day. That's 420 just in the time we've been together. Whether that's a car accident, whether that's an overdose, whether that's some kind of interaction with the drug or alcohol, that's 7 every minute. Now, this number I know has increased just within this last year. An estimated 303,000 Oregonians are still not getting the help they need. And so our hope today is yes, there's some financial opportunities to be a part of this ministry. Yes, there's some ways to get involved, and yes, we have to funding, you know, financially, we have to be able to be supported. But really, more than anything, is the partnership is the opportunity for you guys to know who we are and believe in what we're about and be able to share that light. And so one of the challenges that I give every single time is we understand financially if you can't give or your time is busy, so you can't come out and volunteer or be involved. But what you can do is you can take one of these cards, or you can take a stack of these cards. And we call these a crisis card or a touch card. And this is an opportunity that at any time you have one of these in your wallet and you know somebody, they can call this number and somebody's on the other line to help. And that would be one of the biggest ways to get involved, is taking a stack of these and to pray for us. Pray that every opportunity that we have will be able to plant that seed so that in full circle, they end up calling us and wanting help. Because that's what it's about. I know the Lord will provide financially. I know that he'll provide those that want to come on board and be volunteers and get engaged. But more than anything, if you can't do any of those, to please be praying for us and take a stack of these cards. That will help change a life. That will help save a life. And so we thank you so much for your guys' time this morning. I know that it's very difficult at times to get time at a church. And so, Pastor, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come out and share and that you guys are willing to listen. I do have one last plug before I call it a morning for you guys, is we have our annual golf tournament. And it's coming up. It's still not too late if you're interested in purchasing a team, if you're a golfer. It is at Mallard Creek. It's an awesome event. We have prizes, raffle prizes. We've got awesome first, second, and third prizes. We do a barbecue. It's a great time. And so if any of you that are golfers love Mallard Creek, I know that I'm not a golfer. You don't want to see me swinging a golf club. But I do drive around in a golf cart and handing out goodies the whole day and get to share about the ministry. And so if you're interested, come see me afterwards. But thank you so much for your time and allowing us to just share. We'll be sitting at the booth at the end of this. If you're interested in signing up for sponsorship, you want to turn in your connection cards, grab a stack of these cards, pray with us, anything you want. We'll be out there until you guys kick us out of the church. All right. Thank you again.
Awesome. What a great ministry. We, Jackie and I, back when they first came, I'm going to say it was the first year or so that we were pastors here, 6 years, 7 years ago, came, Jackie and I committed. We look at our giving budget and not just our tithe, but then those things are outside. Because like you, if you're involved in Christian community, there's a lot of nonprofits out there that depend on people to give. But we said this is important. And so part of our giving budget, we've been faithful sponsors of these guys and had some guys that you just have them for a few months. And then they say this, you got a new sponsor, because some guys, it's really hard, that transition in addiction. So I say kudos to these guys that have been in the program and stuck it out, because it's hard. It's interesting as you talk about your own Christian walk, that everybody else sitting in these chairs in here and watching online, we're in no different position than these guys are. We're in the same position. It takes that faith and trust and walking through hard things and getting back off the ground and going back to the Lord again. And so we are encouraged by you guys. When you share your testimony, it's for every single one of us. And so thank you. And we're so excited about the things that God is doing. And I know that as you guys come up into difficult situations, to know that step back in. And I say that to all of us too, those difficult situations, step back in, because that's where we see God work in our lives and move. I just want to close by everybody extending our hands to these men, and we want to pray a blessing on you guys. Okay, you ready for the blessing? You ready? Lord, we thank you for these men. We thank you for their just all the different stories that brought them into Teen Challenge, whether it's the first time or the fifth time. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, we thank you for the leadership. We thank you for the gifts that you place in them. Lord, would you lock in another piece of their faith story that they can trust and see that you're working, God? All different things as guys are just coming into the program and they're watching and listening to these testimonies just like us, to know that, God, you're the one that transforms any hope that any of us have. It's by your transforming power of your Holy Spirit that changes our perspective. Not trying harder, but trusting you and allowing you to do that good and deep work, Lord, that doesn't stop until the day you take us home. Lord, we love you. We pray a blessing of encouragement, a blessing of relationships, a blessing of faithfulness, a blessing of a new understanding of who you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.